while acknowledging the deeply problematic under-resourcing of the ICC, which Han referenced. Gallagher said the parameters of the investigation laid out fall well short of the justice Afghan victims deserve. I fully support reopening the investigation into crimes by the Taliban and other forces in Afghanistan. It should never have been halted by deferral, said Gallagher, adding, Afghan civilians have only known impunity and this has fueled further crimes, especially against the most vulnerable. However, she added, the shattering of the investigation of U.S. torture committed on ICC states' territory, including Afghanistan, Poland, Lithuania, Romania, Jordan, Djibouti, is deeply flawed, allowing powerful states to get away with multi-year, multi-continent torture against so many feats, impunity for all. The ACLU, which is representing before the ICC three men who were detained and tortured in Afghanistan, was similarly critical of the development. The International Criminal Court is where victims of grave human rights violations turn when national legal systems fail to provide justice, said Jamil Dakwar, director of the ACLU's human rights program, saying his group is deeply disappointed in the ICC chief prosecutor's decision to deprioritize investigations into possible war crimes and crimes against humanity committed by the U.S. and its allies over the course of armed conflict in Afghanistan since May 2003. We urge the chief prosecutor to reverse this decision, the Dakwar added, which indefinitely delays victims of U.S. torture programs a measure of justice.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear friend.
Thank you so very much for joining us. We've been discussing some examples in the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding his self-care routine and the precise, intricate attention he paid to all the details, whether it was regarding his hair, his skin, his aroma, his
personal hygiene.
So important.
How much attention he paid to, you know, appearing clean, hygienic, you know, in a handsome way in the society. Mm-hmm. And of course, the spiritual aspect is also there.
Absolutely.
But we have talked about the spirituality, the spiritual aspect in other programs. Now are the focus of our program is
how for a Muslim lady to maintain her physical beauty and self-care for her family.
Right, and we did talk about mindfulness where we, you know, mentioned importance of spirituality in someone's life. We talked about mosque, and we said that the noble prophet spent more money on perfume than on
food.
Exactly.
That's mind-blowing.
He used a lot of perfume, so he ran out of perfume quite often.
Mm.
It's really interesting to know. So when he ran out of perfume, he would ask for a cloth that had been dyed with saffron.
Wow.
You know, when you go to the, when you're on the plane and in the morning, they serve you hot towels.
Ah, yes.
And you clean your hands and your face, and it has like a fresh feeling,
yeah.
Right? And it smells good. The Prophet did the same, subhanAllah. He would damp this, he would sprinkle some water, and he would clean his hands and his face with this cloth dyed with saffron.
MashaAllah.
SubhanAllah, beautiful. And see how these things are important to women.
Of course.
And the catastrophe is that when sometimes, often, the men and women, when they want to go out the house, they put...
doll themselves
exactly.
up.
Exactly. But inside, they put the ugliest pajamas. They stink. No perfume. Mm-hmm. Then for the men and women outside, they are princesses
presentable
and princes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Whereas this, the Prophet... One more thing I read that I loved about the Prophet and his relationship with his wives was that they brought perfume for the Prophet sometimes on the day of Eid. Mm-hmm. And Eid al-Fitr was one occasion that he got his perfumes, right? First thing first was what?
Tell me.
He would start by giving some of his wives the perfume before even using it himself. Mm. This lover of perfume.
That's, you know, beautiful.
Isn't it romantic?
لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرْ حَتَّى تَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You'll never find goodness until you give from that which you love.
And one more thing. There was this lady, this perfume lady called Hawla.
Mm.
And she would visit the house of the Prophet to bring his wives, you know, things that they needed, like the perfumes and everything. And this is interesting that such a custom was there in the Prophet's house, mm-hmm. that the women had this privilege, had this thing going on, that they had this hawla coming,
exactly.
And they got whatever they
and
wanted.
And tell me, Islam oppresses women.
Our Prophet
1,400 years ago...
gave so much
exactly, during
attention.
A time where some European countries were debating whether to consider a woman as a human being or not. Rasulullah would bring a woman to bring his wives... their needs, their, you know, perfumes.
And this was a luxury need.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't an essential need.
Yeah.
And this was, besides giving them so much love and respect and attention.
And providing them with so much knowledge.
It was so beautiful.
Exactly.
About the personality. That's why we say, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ
حَسَنَةٌ. Yeah, he really was the best example in every aspect. Social aspect, family aspect, intimate aspect. Spiritual aspect, warfare aspect. We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
One thing about the Prophet was that when he told Ali alayhi salam, He said, unlike the custom in some countries where the lady has to bring so many things to the guys, to her husband's house, even in Arab countries these days, the man has to provide the house and all the house appliances mm-hmm. and everything. So back then it was also, this was the custom. So the noble prophet, when he was writing a list for the things that the, you know, that Lady Fatima had to take with her, obviously from the money that Ali alayhi salam had given to the prophet, one of those items was perfume for Fatima. So would Fatima would always smell gorgeous at home
for her husband,
for Ali alayhi salam.
Oh, that's beautiful.
There's one beautiful narration that one lady came to the prophet and said that, what is my husband's right over me? And the noble prophet said that that you wear your best clothes, your best adornments, jewelry, makeup, whatever. You prepare yourself and offer yourself to him day and night. And even if you do these, you haven't fulfilled all your rights. And put the best perfume on yourself for your husband. And for the girl, for the lady who wears perfume when she goes outside,
she'll be cursed by the angels
until she returns home. Because I've realized that sometimes when a woman passes by and she has like nice perfume, the guys actually turn around. There's a very big topic of, you know, women are the epitome, or they are the source of, when we're talking about the prophet, that he paid so much attention to self-care and everything. Usually men do not pay attention to self-care or beauty matters as much as women do, mm-hmm. right? Well, with the exception of the noble prophet, who was an infallible, a perfect human being, usually women pay a lot of attention to their beautification. Mm-hmm. So, and in Islam, it is the case that, you know, we want to know, so where should this beautification be applied? We just said that. You have to take care of your skincare. You have to have skincare body, take care of your body, your hair, put on perfume, look your best, whatever, but in the four walls of your sanctuary, your home, for your husband, only and only for your husband.
Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed his companions, he constantly emphasized on the fact that because it will make your wife happy, because you need to satisfy her, because it's your duty as a husband, you know? It wasn't like he said, oh, all the single men out there, keep yourself pretty to charm the girls.
No.
He never talked about it
not
like
at
that
all.
Either.
No.
All of this emphasis is put into grooming ourselves and keeping ourselves attractive for the person we need to attract. You know, I think that there's this hadith regarding Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. One of his eminence saw him looking all handsome and charming.
I love this.
And
hadith.
His beard freshly dyed. And the guy was like, what's up? What's going on? You're the Imam. Why are you so pretty looking? And the Imam said, I have a young wife. I have to keep her happy. It's my duty. Like, literally, I'm all she's got.
This is beautiful.
This really ends
the discussion.
Yeah. We're going to go on a short break, and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam through the example of Rasulullah.
The story that you said, this new convert was going with a Shi'i to visit, he became a Muslim or a Shi'i, and then they came to visit the Imam. And the house was so nice and well decorated, and the Imam had kohl and dyed his hair, and his outfit was so nice and handsome. And the man was like, are you sure this is your Imam? And he said, yeah, this is our Imam. And then the second day, the Imam again invited them, and then he didn't want to go. He said, if this is your Imam, I'm not going to go. He said, no, come, the Imam has invited you. Then he saw that the Imam was in a room where there was no rug, just pebbles and stone was on the floor. And he was wearing a very coarse and rough clothes, simple. And he said, yesterday, I was at the service of my wife. And that was my wife's house. So I wanted to please her.
But this is my corner. This is my corner.
This is yeah, me.
Exactly. My corner.
Isn't this gorgeous?
Yeah. He said that even in Islam, there's a law when you marry a woman, if you are meant to provide for her and her nafaqa as she is used to in her father's house. If she had a servant, you get her a servant. If she was filthy rich, you provide for her luxury and indulgence in her home.
In these circumstances, we have the rivaya where, you know, it's her right. Mm-hmm. But if she tolerates it and if she understands, if she has a sense of understanding, mm-hmm. and sympathy and care for her husband, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her otherworldly rewards.
Mashallah.
And will give a special kind of mercy and love to this relationship.
Exactly.
You know, it's money is not everything.
No.
Sometimes
really
this understanding, mutual understanding between the spouse, at the hardest, you know, in the beginning of your life when your husband doesn't have a stable job, still struggling,
and you
put up with it, and then after 20 years, you're well established, you have your house, your car, your everything, then you have built it together.
Yes, it's beautiful. Right? Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, for those very interesting, multi-dimensional discussions that we had. I hope that you guys have some positive takeaways from this commentary and that you are inspired as Muslim ladies to take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved Prophet of Mercy, as role model in this aspect of your lives as you do in all other aspects. Until another episode of the show, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us reflect on a bezel of wisdom from Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Sitting with the intelligent is a sign of success. Disputation with other than the disbelievers is a sign of ignorance, while a sign of a scholar is his self-criticism of his sayings and his acquaintance with the various hypotheses. ¶¶
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland. Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. Well, a cause of art, artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkan Bozagur has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Bozagur was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Bozagur holds two Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. A French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. Two pumas, two jaguars, nine Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer, macaque twins are new additions to Lemingne Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots, and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balala is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chitka, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains had been discovered in Chilca in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food.
The light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Amongst the thousands of shops in Tehran's Grand Bazaar lies a tiny tea house with a long history that attracts visitors with its famous treats. Haj Ali Darvish Tea House is the smallest and oldest tea house in the Iranian capital. The 2-meter-wide cafe belongs to 63-year-old Kazim Maputian, who took over the century-old business from his father. He serves a wide range of teas, but his signature is the tea of kindness, a mixture of mint, lemon, and saffron. His tea house is the most famous in Tehran, serving some 200 customers every day. It used to be a tourist attraction before the coronavirus pandemic. Haj Ali Darvish Tea House was enlisted as Iran's intangible cultural heritage in 2016. Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important. We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Agualinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of mega faunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. A group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has 8 propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with 4 batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype can or has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
Iran's capital Tehran has hosted an art show themed with Aspiration for Peace. Organized by the Economic Cooperation Organization, the event seeks to shed light on the beauty of a global peace through the language of art. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Each one of these delicate works of art are created by an artist from a different country, each trying a unique way to highlight the need for lasting peace in the world. Dubbed Aspiration for Peace, the art gallery is organized by Echo Cultural Institute with the aim of promoting global peace through the language of art.
By holding this event, we want to send a message of peace to all countries. We invited diplomats from all embassies here to gather and unite and celebrate a peaceful gathering. Also, the artworks showcased here are created by artists from various countries, and this represents how beautiful it is for nations to live peacefully.
Art helps connect different civilizations and nations. It helps us bridge the cultural gaps and find commonalities. This will establish mutual understanding and harmony among nations, and therefore conflicts can be avoided.
In some of the artworks, images immediately communicate with the audience. Even if faces are veiled. These pictures try to narrate the story of Afghan women and an uncertain future that they're facing amid the Taliban's takeover of power in Afghanistan.
The events that are taking place in my country, Afghanistan, are so painful. It might take hours to tell you how hard it is for an Afghan girl to live in insecurity and uncertainty. But through the language of art, you can understand all these words without the need for translation.
The art show was held on the occasion of the International Day of Peace, observed every year on September 21st. The occasion was introduced by the UN General Assembly as a chance to strengthen the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire.
A picture is worth a thousand words, and indeed, no words can be as strong as the strokes of an artist in speaking the beauty of peace. And this is how the universal language of art transcends the political and cultural boundaries and touches the hearts of viewers, no matter what language they speak. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
French slackliner has wowed watching crowds in Paris by crossing from the Eiffel Tower to the other side of the River Seine. Nathan Poulain walked across a rope suspended 17 meters above the ground. He finished the 600-meter course in half an hour. On one point, he sat and lay on the rope before arriving at his destination, the Chaillot Theater. The 27-year-old daredevil practiced 4 years to perform this show. Poulain said that he was staying focused during the walk, and that was very challenging.
When I was young, I had fear of heights, and I learned to contain it. During the performance, I really didn't feel it. I really didn't have that problem. I felt some stress over starting it, but no vertigo, no.
Poulain said that it was an uneasy experience, but he was happy to share it with the public. The athlete started slacklining 10 years ago. In 2019, he performed a 510-meter-long walk between two skyscrapers in Paris.
Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital, Lima, are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about Humboldt penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 Humboldt penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The Humboldt penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world. Salam alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today's topic is about Arba'in procession.
Karbala. To the land of miracles, yearning to go, no matter how difficult, to Karbala.
Today, Wednesday, is the 22nd of Safar 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of the month of Mehr 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of September 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Fajr from the Holy Quran, verses 21 to 26.
كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا.
No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded and crushed.
وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا.
And your Lord has come and the angels rank upon rank.
وجيء يومئذ جهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى.
And brought within view that day is hell. That day man will remember. But what good to him will be the remembrance?
يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي.
He will say, oh, I wish I had sent ahead some good for my life. So on that day, none will punish as severely as his punishment. And none will bind as severely as his binding of the evildoers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the former verses, the transgressors who love the wealth of the world and oppress the rights of others are described. In these verses, the oppressors are warned that there will be a reckoning day and a violent punishment waiting for them, so they should expect it. It is not as they think, such that there will be no record and a reckoning day, and they should not think that the worldly property which Allah has given them is for their honoring and not for their trial.
I swear from my birth to my grave, and swear by God's creation, I was made only a slave, for the ship of salvation, for the one whose blood fell like rain. Why should my blood not fall too? I'll raise my sword and shout Hussein, for you my vow I'll renew. I'll beat my chest, I'll never rest, all of my life I'd sacrifice. Your name beats in my heart, the truth so clear, even though we're apart, you're always near.
The This is IRIB English Radio. Today's a special, and we're speaking about Arba'een. Arba'een has become globe, and it will be more so in the future. This is the blood of Imam al-Hussein, Hussein ibn Ali, which is boiling after the passage of 1400 years. This blood will become fresher and livelier on a daily basis. This is the message of Ashura, which was issued from the throat of Hussein ibn Ali and Zainab al-Kubra at the height of their loneliness. Today, this message has imbued the whole world. Imam al-Hussein belongs to all the humanity. We Shias are proud of being the followers of Imam al-Hussein. But Imam al-Hussein does not only belong to us. Islamic denominations, Shia and Sunni, are all standing under the flag of Imam al-Hussein. Even those who do not follow Islam participate in this rally, and this will continue, God willing. This is a great sign which is being shown by Allah the Exalted at a time when the enemies of Islam are working against the Islamic Ummah with all sorts of weapons. All of a sudden, Allah gives such greatness and significance to the Arba'een rally. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Arba'een of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This is very important and a very instructive point in history, that such a great personality like Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam wanted the felicity of not only his companions and his followers, but also he wanted to see to observe, to experience the felicity of his own enemies. And this is very important in the sense that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam found for himself a global responsibility and a global mission. And here in this regard, we find that in the time of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the case of Arba'een was simply something quite exceptional. Had it not been the case that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam left Medina for Mecca, and from there he left for Al-Kufa and reached Karbala together with his family members, particularly women and children, the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam would have certainly been buried in history, in the folds of historical memory of people. However, it came from the sagacity and sharp-sightedness of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He wanted to have and to leave some survivors who were the direct eyewitnesses of all the atrocities and oppressions that the Umayyad camp inflicted on the front of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura in Karbala.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
We look at current status of Arba'een March in Iraq. The first and most evident issue in the march is the presence of Shia, as well as those who love Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, from various countries. There may be no other historical event at the international level or religious teaching that can bring together too many Shia and Ahlul Bayt devotees from all over the world as Arba'een March does. An interesting issue about the participants in the march is their diverse social and economic status. People from all social strata gather together around the theme of love for Imam al-Hussein in Shia Islam. There are both highly educated and minimally educated individuals, wealthy and poor, those living in cities and those living in rural areas, men, women, children, elderly, and so on.
Oh Allah, I can't live without Hussein. How can I not see Bayn al-Haramain? My whole life just only has one aim, to be beside the one that was slain.
Erbain and resisting oppression. A dimension that Erbain highlights is the moral, ethical perspective of Imam al-Hussein's revolution, which is about promoting good, truth and justice, and not only standing against, but forbidding evil and injustice. As rightly put by Imam al-Hussein himself, His Eminence says, "I seek to enjoy what is good and forbid what is evil, and follow the traditions of my grandfather, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and my father, Imam Ali, peace be upon him."
Why we are instructed to go for ziyarah and to visit the Imam alayhi salam is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran commands us to show our love for the family of the Prophet. After 23 years of offering his services, of working so hard, the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, you worked so hard. We never paid you back. How can we pay you back?" Remember, the Prophet would never speak of himself. He would wait for revelation. He told them, "Let me see what Jibra'il tells me from God." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, "Qul la as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil-qurba." I ask for no wage except for one thing. You want to pay me for the religion of Islam? What is the price that you pay? Al-mawaddata fil-qurba. To show the love and compassion for the Ahlul Bayt, to follow them and love them. Visiting Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam represents Al-Mawaddata Fil-Qurba. If you love the Prophet and his grandson experienced a tragedy, you go and you show your solidarity with Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. This in itself is extremely significant.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein, and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Hussein, as-salam. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.